Shall we just pray? Father, we bless you and thank you for the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know that in his resurrection there stands an awesome reality of power that is to be manifested in the body of Christ. Because the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is our inheritance and our possession, Father. Everything expressed in his resurrection, Father, is meant to be revealed and realized in the body of Christ. Every member of the body of Christ, O God, all across the world and in the heavenly places, is charged with the responsibility, O God, of giving testimony, O God, to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Giving testimony through their lives, O God, of the resurrection power that has been given to us in the rising of the Son, who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So Father, we bless you and thank you, Lord, that resurrection is a reality in our lives. It is a growing reality, and we pray that your Holy Spirit will move in a new way across the church, O God, across the world, yea, even in the heavenly places, Lord, to manifest, O God, a newer and a greater and a higher manifestation, O God, of the power of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that his power will be demonstrated in our lives. His power will be demonstrated in our character and our nature. His power will be demonstrated in our personalities. His power will be demonstrated in our conscious, our subconscious, and our unconscious. That his power will be demonstrated in our homes, in our families, in our relationships, in our marriages. That his power, O God, will be released in all that we do in thought, word, and in deed. That his power, O God, will be seen, O God, manifested in our situations and circumstances. That the church will rise to be the head and not the tail, Lord. That we will not be the joke, O God, of newspaper articles, O God. That the world will not laugh at us and take snide remarks at us, Lord. That we will rise in a power that will be indisputable, Father. The power that you have given us. That surpassing greatness of the power of the risen Christ, Father. Let that power come forth, Lord. Let it come forth with an understanding. Let it come forth with a clarity. Let it come forth with purpose. Let it come forth, O God, with a sense of destiny, Father. Let it come forth, O God, by the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. Let it come forth, O God, so that Jesus Christ will be seen in his body, Lord. That he will be seen in his glory through each and every one of us. That we will each understand, O God, that it is our responsibility to manifest the wonder of Christ Jesus from the altars of our heart. That the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, he should shine from each one of us, Lord. That we should rise to be the head and not the tail, Lord. For that is our destiny, Lord. That is our calling, Lord. To unveil the power in the name of Jesus. To unveil the absolute supremacy of the name of Jesus. To vindicate through our lives, O God, the testimony of Jesus as a living reality of the gospel, Father, through each one of our lives, Father. So we ask you to open with understanding the reality of resurrection power. Bless the church, O God, with this revelation. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus Christ is risen. Right? And that is something that needs to be manifested as a living testimony from the church. Because nobody else is going to unveil the risen Christ except you and me. We are the church. We are the body of Christ. We are living tabernacles. Living members of the body of Christ. It is our responsibility. It's our responsibility as born-again Christians, as spirit-filled Christians, to unveil him who is our righteousness, him who is the be-all and end-all of our lives, him who is the beloved of our hearts. So let's start with Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. Paul speaks here, that I may know him. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being conformed to his death in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being conformed to his death in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. The last half of that is frightening to Christians. The fellowship of his sufferings. Why do we suffer? We suffer whenever we decide to manifest the testimony of Jesus. Right? Hello? When you try and overcome the flesh in your life in the power of Jesus' name, there will be struggles you have to go through. The biggest battles that we fight are within us. But there will also be battles that we have to fight through our lives, because ultimately what Jesus Christ manifests in each one of us has to be proven in lives. So Paul tells us something important, right? That we should come into the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. Being conformed to his death. Jesus died to overcome sin. We should die to ourselves, so that we will rise in the power of his resurrection, right? To manifest the life of Jesus. The responsibility God has given us, whether we are great men or small men, whether we are male or female, whether we are rich or poor, the responsibility the Lord has given us is that we are called to give expression to Jesus Christ through our lives. We are called to live Jesus. In each and every one of the situations and circumstances of our lives, we are called to live Jesus. We are called to live Jesus as teachers. We are called to live Jesus as students. We are called to live Jesus as husbands and wives. We are called to live Jesus as daughters and sons. We are called to live Jesus as lawyers, as doctors, as engineers, as civil servants, as whatever you want to be. As bank officers, as tellers, whatever it is, that we will live Jesus and manifest his living through our lives. Because Jesus Christ is alive in us. If you are a born-again Christian, then by the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ is alive in you. And the reason he is alive in you is so that he can be seen through you. So that he can be seen through your life. So that he can be testified to through your life, so that he can be testified through your character and your nature and your personalities. So when Paul talks about sufferings, he's not talking about necessarily of martyrdom. He's talking about suffering to overcome the flesh. That when God starts addressing the flaws in our character and our nature, we have to have the courage to walk into what God has given us in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Change and transformation. To be different. To dare to be different in the situations and circumstances where God has placed us. That we will be people who will not take a bribe. That we will be people who will rise in faith to see the power of God give us favor even in impossible situations. That's what Paul is talking about. When he talks about suffering, he's talking about you willing to stand there and let God mold you so that you will be his vessels. When everybody around you tells you are a fool, that you are a failure, that righteousness, integrity, and honesty does not work in this world, that we need to have influence and we need to work things out in carnal ways, dishonest ways, and corrupt ways in order to achieve things. And you say, no, in my life it's going to be different. And I'm prepared to go through whatever abuse there is in order to manifest the righteousness of my God, in order that the victory of my Lord and my Savior will be seen and be proven in my life. That I will be a student who will study and I will unveil the power and strength of my Lord in my life. I will unveil his wisdom, his knowledge, and his understanding. I will not be defeated by my inabilities. I will not be defeated by my weaknesses. I will rise above this and I will be a testament that I belong to the Lord. That I will be a different kind of student. I will not be a student who has premarital sex, and I will not be a young person who has premarital sex and thinks that's okay because the world says it is okay. No, it's not okay. And when people ridicule you as being old-fashioned, you are a virgin, and you say, yes, I am. And what's wrong with that? Suffering. We have very carnal ideas of suffering. Suffering is doing the right thing when everything is turning the wrong way. Suffering is saying, this is going to be different. I'm going to stand for something and it's going to be different in my life. I'm prepared to live a different life. I'm prepared to walk in a different beat. I am prepared to be a different kind of human being. I am prepared to defy the wisdom of the world. I am prepared to defy the systems of the world. I am going to be different. I am a son of God. I am victory personified in Jesus Christ. And I will go forth and I will conquer and I will rise to stand so that the victory of Jesus Christ will be manifested in my life. That when my life is over, they will say Jesus lived in him. Jesus was manifested through his life. You're listening, guys. Right? Jesus lived so that the Father could be seen in the Son. We live so that the Son can be seen in each one of us. So that the Son can be demonstrated in each one of our lives. So Peter, that's why Paul writes, that I may know him. Right? It is that intimacy. The power of resurrection is manifested in an intimacy, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being conformed to his death. What is the death of Jesus Christ? To die to everything that the world has to offer. Hello. To die to my fleshly self and rise to my heavenly calling. To be the head and not the tail. To be someone who is courageous enough to stand and proclaim the righteousness of God. Are you listening, people? Right? Let's turn to Romans chapter 6, verse 3. We are all baptized Christians. Romans chapter 6, verse 3. Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore we have been buried with him through baptism into death, in order that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. So what is our commitment at baptism? To walk in newness of life. In order to walk in newness of life, you require resurrection power. That's why Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. See, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is to do with life. If you don't live, there's no point to resurrection power. The purpose of the power of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is so that you and I will live. And living involves everything that you do every day. And God wants to unveil in you a new life, a new behavior, a new thought process, a new character, a new nature, a way of relating to other people, a new way of looking at other people, a new way of living and doing everything and anything, a totally new lifestyle. And do you understand that if you and I can live that lifestyle, people will know that the gospel of Jesus Christ is the truth? You listening? That's what our baptism entailed. Let's read it again. Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? We have been baptized into Christ Jesus. We have been immersed into him. We have been immersed into his death. What did Jesus Christ die for? Jesus Christ died so that you and I could find new life. Jesus died expressing a faith and a love that you don't have and I don't have. He expressed a forgiveness that you don't have and I don't have. He manifested a spirit that all of us need. That spirit of Christ that is the blueprint for a new man in you and me. That's what it means to be baptized into his death. So what are you baptized into? You're baptized into Christ Jesus. And in Christ Jesus, in his death, he unveiled the realities of his faith, his love, his character, his nature, his spirit, his life. We are baptized into that reality and we are called to receive and realize what he gave to us on the cross and rise up and live a new life. Is that difficult, guys? Is that difficult? What God is inviting us to do is to receive of Jesus' faith. What God is inviting us to do is to receive of Jesus' love. What God is asking us to do is receiving of Jesus' character, His nature, His thought processes, His spirit, His life, His wisdom, His knowledge, His understanding, His reality of God. Are you listening? Because the last words on the cross were, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." So that reality of God that could manifest in a man who was totally blameless, who was made to go through the cross, not because of anything that he had done, but because for someone else who had done everything wrong in their lives. And he was being put through that, and he was being asked to discover God in that situation. Hello? So we know that Jesus cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And for 3 hours there was darkness. And then something changed. And Jesus said, "It is finished. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Something was achieved. He saw God. And there was no longer darkness. And the veil in the temple was torn in two. Are you listening? The faith and love of Jesus Christ had found God for us. In the midst of our sin, in the midst of all that we had done against Him, He had found God. He had found the heart of His God, and He said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And the book of Romans in chapter 1 verses 3 and 4 says that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead because His spirit was found to be the spirit of holiness. Amen. What is holiness? The most basic idea of holiness is belonging to God. Jesus gave up His spirit, belonging to God, in a purity that overcame all of our impurities. Are you listening? So what He did for us, we are immersed into in our baptism. That's why we baptized by immersion. We are baptized into Christ in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Because Christ Jesus is the witness of God. Christ Jesus is the testimony of God, given to us to receive and to realize, so that we will rise to become sons of God, so that we will rise to become priests unto God, so that we will rise to become prophets of the living God, so that we will rise to become kings who will reign in the name of Jesus. And for all that to come forth, God released something called resurrection power. And the moment we are baptized as Christians after being born again, the moment we are baptized as Christians, we are giving recognition to the fact that I can live in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. I can live because the resurrection of Jesus Christ will be received and realized in me. It will be manifested in my life. I commit to that. Are you listening? You commit to it in the realization that you have a faith and a love in Jesus Christ that will be able to bring that forth. Are you listening? It is all by grace. This is not about God asking us to do something impossible. God is saying, "You commit to what is impossible and I will bring forth the impossible." It is like Jesus taking that young man, rich young man who came to Him and said to him, "Go and sell all you have and follow me." And the young man walked away because he could not do that. His disciples turned around to the Lord Jesus and said, "If this is the criteria for the kingdom of God, who is going to come in?" And Jesus said, "With man it is impossible, but with God all things are possible." Christianity is about what God can bring forth in your life, brother. When you are born again, you are not born again because you did some great and wonderful thing. It is simply because God broke through your darkness and you received His light and you were born again. When you are baptized, God says, you have seen something, I have done something for you, I have opened something into your life. Do you want to see this as a whole lifestyle? Do you want to see this as a reality in all eternity? That you will rise by my power into a new life forever and ever. That you will grow forever and ever by what I have given you in my Son. Are you prepared to commit in my name to being immersed in Christ my Son? Are you willing to commit to being immersed in His name, the name of Jesus? Are you willing to be immersed in His death, so as to receive His faith and His love for you, so as to receive His forgiveness, so that all of your hang-ups, all of your character flaws will all be healed? Hello? We say by His stripes we are healed. That's why. Because we are immersed into His sacrifice. We are immersed into His forgiveness. We are immersed into His love. We are immersed into His faith. And His faith and His love and His forgiveness were expressed even as they whipped Him and they abused Him and drove nails into Him. So it says, by His stripes we are healed, by His wounds we are delivered. And all that is something you and I are supposed to discover and then tell somebody about it. As we discover, we are to tell people that this reality in Jesus Christ, this reality of our being baptized in Him, so as to receive and realize His resurrection power. So our baptism is a commitment to receive and realize the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you listening? It is not to become members of a church. It is a commitment to unfold Jesus Christ in our lives. It is a commitment in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Listening? Praise the Lord. And that is the Christian life. To unfold what God has given us in the resurrection of the Lamb. Let's turn back to Philippians chapter 3 again. Verse 10. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. Now that's why Paul says, that I may know Him. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death. The fellowship of His sufferings, He suffered for me. Hello? How do you enter into the fellowship of His sufferings? When you understand and realize, hello, all that He has done for you. When we celebrate our Holy Communion, what do we say? That Jesus Christ fervently desired to eat this Passover with us before He suffered, because He says it will be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Correct? It will be fulfilled. He suffered so that we will receive fulfillment. That we will come into the fellowship of His sufferings as we receive and realize the changes. Hello. All right. So that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Attaining to the resurrection from the dead is what you committed to at baptism. That I will rise to new life. And this new life is going to be described in the fullness of Jesus Christ, in His character, in His nature, in His personality. As you, in your own free will, respond to Him. He gave Himself to us on a cross, and we are asked to receive Him, right, from the altars of our heart. And the altars of our heart then give expression to Him. How do we give expression to Him? To the life that we live. So the Christian witness is in life lived. It is not in theologies declared. Hello? It is so important. It is in life lived. When a miracle is done, it's the name of Jesus being manifested. That's the question that is being posed to the Christian church today. Yes, you have done so many miracles, but are these miracles in my name or are they in your name and in your ministry's name? Yes, you have got large churches that are growing every day. Are these churches growing in my name? Are they growing in your name? Hello. That's what the Lord is asking us. Who is reigning in our hearts? Who is being glorified? Who is being proclaimed? You and me, or the Lord that we said will manifest in our lives? Hello. Baptism is covenant. Entering into the covenant of God. That's why you are immersed in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Because the name of God is an oath. And you are immersed in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in Christ Jesus. Into His fullness. There is no baptism without the fullness of Jesus Christ. And the reason why you are being immersed into His fullness is so that you will rise to unveil His life. Are you with me? You see, the life of Jesus Christ is meant to be developed in you and me. We are to develop the life of Jesus in spirit, soul, and body, in heart and in mind, in thought, word, and deed, in intent, attitude, desire, and imagination, in object and purpose, in will and emotion, in character, in nature, in personality, in conscious, subconscious, and unconscious terms. Hello. A new creation in Christ Jesus. And that new creation unveils in the power of His resurrection. That's why He says, I am the resurrection and the life. And that life is meant to be shown in your life. The fact that I am risen has to be manifested from every member of the body of Christ. How can we say Jesus Christ is risen and refuse to change? How can we do business the same way as the crooked fellow outside in the world does and say that God is blessing me? You're making a mockery of what God is doing. Hello? How can we do ministry and our ministry turns out to be no different than those crooked God men who are around the world? Hello. Let's turn to Matthew. Matthew chapter 7. Verse 21 to 23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name cast out demons? And in your name perform many miracles? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. You know, today as the church does a lot of signs and wonders, do you know that all of those signs and wonders are being manifested from anointings that come upon us? That's why you can see a pastor do miracles and then wonder why he is a dishonest person in his life. Why he can tell lies with a straight face. The anointing that operates in his life has been given to him. He operates it and there are effects. He can go out and he can minister and God brings people into the kingdom of God. His ministry appears to even be successful. But there's something missing in his life that is betrayed through his character and his nature. The resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ is to transform our nature and our character in conformance to Christ Jesus. And not many people want that. They want to do miracles, they want to see signs and wonders, they want to see big ministries, they want to see big churches, as long as the Lord does not ask them to change. And in the charismatic move, we found that while we can do wonderful miracles, it does not necessarily guarantee that we remain in ministry for very long. What did we fail to do? We failed to receive that resurrection power that is meant to manifest our character and our nature. What Jesus Christ here says, "Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." Yes, you did many miracles. Yes, you even cast out demons. Yes, you prophesied. But you did not do it in my name, you did it in your name. I gave you the anointing. And my anointing and my callings are irrevocable. What I have given you, I have given you. I will not pull it back. What I have given you, I have given you, and you have misused it. You have misused it because you refused to be conformed to my son. You wanted it done in your name, so you have done it in your name. Now depart from me, because I know you not. Yes, I have used you. Many have come into the Christian church because of your ministry. But you did it in your name. I used you as my vessel. I used my anointings through you. But depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Listening? That's why resurrection power is so important. We must discover that Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life. We cannot be servants of the living God if we don't have conformance to Christ Jesus. All ministry has to be done in the name of Jesus. The witness in our ministry, the witness in our churches must be of the fullness of Jesus Christ, because God will not accept anybody else's. Listening? All right. So this is the introduction to resurrection power. In our Easter message, what the Lord brought forth was the fact was, what have you done as a church with my resurrection power? That after 2,000 years of Christianity, after celebrating umpteen Easters and Good Fridays, where is the power of my resurrection? That's what the Lord asked us as a question. So what is the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ? What is the power of his resurrection? And that's what we are going to discuss over several weeks. What is this resurrection power? Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 1. What is the unveiling of resurrection power? Let's turn to verse 17. The root of what we are going to talk about starts in verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, that is Jesus Christ. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power towards us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand. This is a very important prayer, because it talks about resurrection power. It tells us that resurrection power is the surpassing greatness of God's power. Surpassing greatness of God's power, the power that is above every other kind of power. The power of organizations, the power of politics, the power of witchcraft, the power of sorcery, the power of idolatry, the power of the occult. Above every other kind of power, there is this surpassing greatness of God's power released to us in Christ Jesus. Verse 17 says that the root to unveiling resurrection power is the revelation of Jesus Christ in you, in your heart. I pray that God will give you a spirit of wisdom and of knowledge in the Lord Jesus Christ, so that the eyes of your heart will be enlightened, so that you will know what is His calling over your life. What is the surpassing? What are the riches of the glory of Jesus' inheritance in the saints? Now, all that we want, the part that we also want, is that which comes, that is called the surpassing greatness of His power towards us who believe in Him. Are you listening? But do you realize that the root is the revelation of Jesus Christ? There's no meaning to resurrection power without Jesus being unveiled in your heart. Resurrection power, it does not operate in a vacuum. Resurrection power unveils only in the reality of the Lord Jesus Christ. No Jesus, no resurrection. That's why Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. If you want to discover this resurrection power and this life that I'm talking about, you have to discover me. You have to pray that I be revealed in your heart. Because this power stands in my name. It is the power to enable you to live. It is the power to enable you to have the right kind of character so that you can stand and proclaim my gospel the right way. Hello. Under the law, there have been great men of God. Moses failed at a critical period. And because he failed at a critical period, God said, you cannot go into the promised land. Elijah ran away at a critical period. He just got frightened. John the Baptist in jail, he turns around and asks Jesus, are you the Christ? Tell me. Was all that I saw real? Are you the Christ? So under the law, everyone at critical periods in their life, they failed. That's why God sent His Son to unveil that which was impossible for man to do. Are you listening? And that's what we need to understand and realize. That's why we pray that Jesus Christ be revealed in us. Because the moment Jesus is revealed in us, something new opens to us. There's a whole new reality of life open to us. Are you listening? All right. How important is this revelation of Jesus Christ within us? Let's turn to John chapter 17. John chapter 17, verse 26. And this is what Jesus ends his prayer with. This is the prayer he makes before he goes to the cross. And he says, I have made thy name known to them and will make it known, that the love wherewith thou didst love me may be in them, and what? I in them. I in them. So this reality of Jesus being revealed in you and me is what Paul is talking about developing. So he prays that the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ may give to you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, so that the eyes of your heart will be enlightened, so that you will know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of His power towards you who believe in Him. Are you listening? And to qualify that all this is tied to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, he then says, these are in accordance with the working of the strength of God's might that raised Jesus Christ from the dead and seated him at the right hand of the majesty on high, or the power on high. Are you listening? The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is something very deep and very intimate to us. The revelation of Jesus must result in us realizing revelation knowledge so that we can actually answer the call and remain in the calling, so that we will not misuse things. All right? Hello? If you look at recent church history, you will find, right, that men of God, after receiving the anointings of God and doing their own thing, finally even resorted to putting electrical wires under carpets so that people will come for the altar call and feel the anointing. That there have even been famous names in Christian ministry who have staged false miracles. Why do all these things happen? Because once your ministry starts growing and everybody comes expecting to see miracles, and one day the miracles start diminishing, you have a problem, isn't it? Why does it start diminishing? Because you have moved away from the Lord. You see, God cannot manifest himself in falsehood. God cannot manifest himself in a place that denies his name. The callings operate, the supernatural takes place. The question is, what spirit is operating now? The Bible talks about false miracles. What are false miracles? False miracles are miracles that do not proclaim the reality of God. But they are miracles, no doubt. When statues drink milk, it is miraculous. Only thing is, it is a false miracle. Why? Because it is deception. It does not proclaim the glory of God, but it is miracle. It is a miracle. It is supernatural. In Revelation, it is said that one day the Antichrist will call down fire from heaven. He will replicate the miracle that Elijah did. And there it is called a false miracle. Are you listening? So seeing a miracle is not necessarily seeing God. How do you tell the difference? Very simple. Whose name is manifested in your heart? Whose name is glorified in your heart? Who are you proclaiming when you see the miracles? Hello? Resurrection power, the surpassing greatness of the power that will unveil in us in the name of Jesus, so that we will do all things in the name of Jesus. That's why Jesus said, anything you ask in my name, it will be given to you. Anything you ask in my name, it will be done for you. But it has to be in my name. I must be alive in you. I must be alive in your witness. You must be doing it for me. You listening? Right. So the power of his resurrection, so important. It is defined as the surpassing greatness of his power. So we want to discover what that power means. All right? How personal is that power to us? Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. What is resurrection power for? Verse 20. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. The first thing I want to identify at this point is that there is a power that works within you. The Greek word there is dunamis, and that power is the power of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. That power is meant to work inside of you. And one of the skills you and I are called to develop is the realization of this power that works within you. It is your calling to discover that power. It is your calling to discover life that works through that power. And that power is works within you. It is personal to you. It is not based on what super duper man of God you are. It is based on you just being born again. It is based on the reality of the infilling presence of the Holy Spirit within you. That's why it says the power that works within you. The Greek word for work there is energios or energes, right? From which our word energy comes from, right? It talks about energization. All right, let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, chapter 12 rather, from verse 4, 5 and 6. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are varieties of ministries and the same Lord. And there are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. Who works all things in all persons. All right. If you go back and you read the Amplified Bible, you will find that the word works is described in brackets as inspire and energize. Inspire and energize. All right. So when we are talking about the power that works within us, we are talking of the power that has been unveiled through inspiration and is being energized inside of you. Inspiration, we talked about revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, correct? The revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ is inspiration. And the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ unveils inside of you the reality of the surpassing greatness of His power towards you. And that power is meant to be energized within you. When you pray by the Spirit, you are supposed to energize that power. Hello. When you say, I am praying by the Spirit, you are just energizing the power that has been made resident inside of you. Are you with me? Where does that power come from? Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3. Here it's talking about Jesus, and it says that Jesus, or He, is the radiance of the Father's glory and the exact representation of His nature, His person, depending on what translation of the Bible you're reading. But this is what I want to focus on. And upholds all things by the word of His power. So the power of the cross is manifested in the word. The Greek word there is rhema. So the power that works within you is according to the word that is inside of you. When you pray in tongues, you have to energize word, not your emotion. God is not going to respond to your emotions. Why? Because your righteousness and my righteousness is filthy rags. The word of God speaks of the righteousness of God. It brings into you the righteousness of God. It brings into you the righteousness of God because rhema is the spirit and life of whom? Jesus Christ. Are you listening? So God wants to establish inside of you His word, and He has given you tongues in order to energize that word into living realities. And those living realities are supposed to be manifestations of the resurrection power that is alive inside of you. Listening. Now what is the purpose of this resurrection power? Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 3 verse 20. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 20. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that you ask or think, according to the power that works within you. What does He say? That God has the intention of giving to you exceedingly abundantly beyond all that you ask or even think. But it only happens according to the power that is working within you. Now we have already defined that power as being power unveiled through the word. So if you ask in the word, God says, I will do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that you ask. If you think in the word, God says, I will bring forth in you exceedingly abundantly beyond all that you think. But I will only do it according to the power that has been energized within you. That's why you need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Because having the Word without the Holy Spirit doesn't make any blooming difference. You need the Holy Spirit to activate that Word, energize it, so that it will be the living Word inside of you. Are you listening? So the basic reason for resurrection power is so that you will have exceedingly abundantly beyond all that you ask or even think, according to the Word that unveils the power of God. Are you listening? So the power is there to manifest the Word. You listening? That's why you need to use the Word, know the Word, understand the Word. That Word has to be revealed inside of you. He's not talking about an intellectual understanding of the Word. He's talking about the Word unveiled inside of you. Praise the Lord. I hope you are listening and understanding what we are saying here. You cannot be a Christian based on your good thoughts. Hello. Because the Bible has already said your thoughts and my thoughts, our righteousnesses, are filthy rags. We need the Word of God because the Word of God brings into us the thoughts of God. It brings into us the thinking of God. When you are born again in the indestructible seed or the imperishable seed of the Logos Word. Peter writes that in 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 22. Let's turn to that. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 23 rather. For you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable but imperishable, that is through the living and abiding Logos of God. Living and abiding Logos of God. When Rhema is received inside of you with understanding, it becomes Logos. When you saw Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the Word worked inside of you, an amazing reality. You were born again. Being born again is the first expression of resurrection power in your life. You left Egypt and you entered the kingdom of God. You left the carnal realities of the world and you became alive to God. Suddenly you wanted to read the Bible. Before that you couldn't be bothered. Are you listening? Right? Whether that happened spectacularly or whether it happened over a gradual period of time, the effects are still the same. When you are born again, you come alive to God. Are you listening? You are born again by the imperishable, abiding and living Word of God. The Word was open to you. Now in that simple example, God is showing you what is the reality of resurrection power. Now the moment you were born again, things happened inside of you that you would have never done on a month of Sundays. Right? You were suddenly enabled to do things that you didn't want to do. Suddenly there was a desire in you to pray. You probably never prayed before. Seriously speaking. Right? You suddenly wanted to open the Word of God. You suddenly wanted to go to church before they had to force you. Bring a tractor, park it outside your house, and then drag you to church. Right? You were born again, and suddenly you wanted to go to church. What happened? The power of the tractor was translated inside of you. Now it automatically drove you to church. Isn't that nice? Correct? Are you with me? Now everything in our life is supposed to be manifested through that power. Everything in Christian living is supposed to unveil in that power. Because that power is entirely for life. It is for the living of life. A new life. Not the stuff we have been living before. But the life that now comes to us by the power of God. The life that comes to us in the testimony of Jesus. Because the Word of God is opening inside of you the testimony of Jesus. A new and living way. All right. So the purpose of resurrection power, and we just want to stop here for today, right, is so that you will be able to ask and receive beyond all that you ask. That you will be able to think and receive beyond all that you think. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that exciting? But there is a caveat. The caveat is this: it only works according to the power that is within you. And the power only comes within you through the Rhema word. Listening? So if you don't receive the word of God, you cannot receive and realize resurrection power. Yes, you can be born again. Why were you born again? Because you received the word of God, by the way. Right? The evangelist spoke, and somehow or other the word of God was translated in your heart, and suddenly you said, I believe that Jesus is Lord. And suddenly something opened inside of you. Right? Some people struggle with the idea that Jesus is Lord over several weeks. But suddenly there comes a point after those several weeks of fighting over whether Jesus is Lord or not, whether he's real or not. Suddenly you say, he is Lord. And that point you're born again. Listening? And lo and behold, a new tomorrow opens to you. Are you listening? And this resurrection power is meant to give you new life. So two things we have said today. There is no resurrection power without Jesus Christ, because it is his I am that has to be revealed in us. And then we're saying that this resurrection power is the surpassing greatness of the power that is above any other kind of power. That power is working inside of you. And that power comes into you according to the revealed word. And when you pray, when you speak, when you think, when you act according to that word that is alive in you, right? God answers you beyond all that you ask or even think. Do you realize that everything is now possible to you? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Praise the Lord. So resurrection power is something very exciting. Next week we will talk about how resurrection power is tied to the word. What is it? It unveils us. So don't miss next Sunday. Praise the Lord. Shall we pray? Father, we give you glory and honor, worship and praise. That resurrection power is an exciting reality of the exceeding greatness of the power that you have given us in your Son. We are called to receive, realize and manifest this resurrection power, because this resurrection power is the fulfillment of our baptism, Father. The realization of this resurrection power in a brand new life, Lord, is your answer to our commitment at baptism. Enable us to understand that. Enable us to know that. Enable us, O God, to realize all that we have spoken today, Father, so that we will be a living testimony of the wonder of Jesus Christ. The prophet Isaiah said that Jesus revealed will be wonderful. Oh Lord, the church has to unveil the fact that Jesus is wonderful. And the wonder of him must shine through our eyes, our faces, our thoughts, our actions, our characters, our natures, our relationships. The wonder of Jesus must be manifested in our conscious, our subconscious, and our unconscious. And in manifesting him, O God, we will truly be declaring the reality of life. The new life that you have given us by sending your Son to the cross, by raising him from the dead, by declaring him to be the Son of God in the spirit of holiness, Lord. So we ask you to bless each one of us, to bless the church across the world in this reality of resurrection power. That we will understand, O God, that there is a power that works within us, so that the power that comes upon us will be applied properly, Lord. And so important for us to know and understand that, Lord. That without the right character, no matter what we do, we will lose it all. So Father God, let that resurrection power come alive into every living member of the body of Christ, so that we will rise to become true and complete vessels unto you. We thank you. We bless you. And we pray, Lord, that you will fulfill your word in each one of our lives, that you will truly perform your word in each one of our lives. We pray this, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. As we celebrate communion, let's look at Luke chapter 22. Verse 14, and when the hour had come, he reclined at the table and the apostles with him. A position has been given to the church to be seated with Christ. The book of Ephesians says to be seated with Christ in the heavenly places. And that position is defined in the book of Ephesians also as a place higher, far higher than every principality, power, might, and dominion. So such a position needs to be open to us. And the power that unveils such a position is called resurrection power. All right? So when the hour had come, he reclined at the table and the apostles with him. This position stands in resurrection power. This position does not stand in human merit. This position unveils in the merits of the Lamb. This position unveils as we receive and realize everything that God unveiled in the Lamb of God. And so in verse 15, Jesus says, and he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. He suffered in order to unveil the power that will enable you and me to be seated with him in heavenly places. For I say to you, verse 16, I shall never again eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Do you realize that fulfillment involves power? For something to be fulfilled, it requires power. And that power is the power of his resurrection. Where is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is within you. It is within me. It is amongst us. So the power that is to be manifested in a living and growing fulfillment of the kingdom is something that is very intimate to us. So today we read that there is a power that works within us. Amen. There's a power that works within us to give us exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we ask or even think. Now do you understand what Jesus means by remember me? Remember me in all that I have brought alive inside of you. No bluffs here. Right? That's why faith has an evidence. Evidence is not bluff. Evidence is not baked belief. I believe must manifest in an evidence. An evidence is a manifestation of resurrection power. Praise the Lord. Verse 17, and when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he said, take this and share it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on until the kingdom of God. Another picture of resurrection power. Jesus is the true vine. We are the branches. The fruit of the vine come out of the branches. I am the resurrection and the life. He is the true vine. And the life flows out of the vine, manifests in the branches, and the branches bear fruit. And the power that brings all that forth is resurrection power. Jesus in John 15 says that the fruit that you bear may be there forever. All right. For something to live forever, it must be quite amazing, isn't it? It must have an amazing reality of power. Let me cross-reference John chapter 15. Right? Let's just quickly see that. John chapter 15, verse 16. You did not choose me. But I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give to you. Understand? Right? Look at verse 7 and 8. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, it shall be done for you. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Right? So how do we remember Jesus Christ? By bearing fruit. Bearing fruit in the power that is supplied to us in his life. That's what we are celebrating in Holy Communion. That's why Holy Communion is a celebration of the prophetic. It is a celebration of growing fulfillment. What God has brought inside of you, in the fullness of Jesus Christ, in the substance and the reality of His fullness. Substance being bread, reality being the cup that was poured out in a living witness of blood, water, and spirit. Substance and reality. Substance, bread, reality, witness of blood, water, and spirit. Amen. And all that is to come alive in us in resurrection power. Praise the Lord. That's why He says, take this cup and share it. Don't just keep it with yourself. Let this witness, this cup was poured out for you in a witness of blood, water, and spirit. So let this witness come out. Share it with other people. Don't just keep it with yourself. Share it, but share it in the right witness. All right? Verse 19. And when He had taken some bread and given thanks, He broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is My body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of Me. Do what in remembrance of Me? Become living members of My body. My body I have given you. You receive of My fullness, and you become a living member of that body. And by becoming a living and fruitful member of that body, you give remembrance to Me. Remembrance is not an intellectual thingy. Remembrance is not a mental exercise. Remembrance is a lifestyle, brother. Remembrance is a living witness that you have received and realized in your being in resurrection power. All right, verse 20. And in the same way, He took the cup after they had eaten, saying, this cup which is poured out for you is the new covenant in My blood. New covenant in My blood. That new covenant is going to be revealed in you. My witness to you, My rhema to you, is going to unveil a covenant. And that covenant is in My blood. It's a testimony of My faith and My love for you. Amen. All of the new covenant is given to you in My blood. Praise the Lord. So as we partake of Holy Communion, we are looking forward to an amazing future, brethren. An amazing future beyond all of our collective intelligence. An amazing future that is of the fullness of Christ Jesus. And as we partake of Passover, the realization of this Passover is in a holy communion with God. A communion of intimacy as you receive and realize all that He has given you in Christ Jesus. Hello, we are talking about your life. God is saying your life is to be an expression of everything I have done on the cross for you. All that I gave you in Him is to be manifested in you. Isn't that amazing? Do you want that? The fullness of Jesus Christ in your life. Hello, it is all available, grace upon grace. Isn't that wonderful? John 1:16, of His fullness we have all received, grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. His fullness, grace upon grace, meant to be realized inside of you. That realization results in a remembrance, which is what Holy Communion is celebrating. And that remembrance is a manifestation of prophetic fulfillment. That which is of the flesh and blood of the Lamb that has been realized inside of you. So how many things have been realized inside of you already? All that has been realized is of the flesh and blood of the Lamb. And we look forward to even greater things being fulfilled in each and every one of us. Isn't this celebration something else? Praise the Lord. Shall we pray? Father, we thank You that this Passover of the Lamb is an intimate reality to be established in each and every one of us. Established in us in the merits of the Lamb. Established in us in a power that You have very precisely defined in raising Jesus Christ from the dead. The power of His resurrection. And the power of His resurrection fulfilling this Passover will enable us to unveil as sons of the living God, to ultimately be seated with Christ in the heavenly places in practical terms, Lord, holding an authority and a position in the merits of the Lamb, in a living witness alive in us, in a power that works within us 24 hours of the day, a power that works within us in conscious, subconscious, and unconscious terms. And all this, O God, is a description of your grace, how you have loved us. It will take us a long time to begin to understand how much you have loved us, Lord. But we have all eternity to discover your heart. And we thank you for that privilege. And so we ask you, Lord, to sanctify these elements of the bread and wine, that they will be to us by your Holy Spirit, the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, unveiling in us the prophetic dimensions of all of this fulfillment that stands, O God, in bread and wine, Lord. So we thank you that as we receive of him, we are receiving of his flesh and in his blood in prophetic terms. And these prophetic terms are to be opened to us through your living word. They are to be worked into us by your Holy Spirit as he energizes and makes the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ alive to each and every part of our being, in spirit, in soul, yea, even in body, Lord. So we bless you and thank you for the privilege, O God, of partaking of this communion, Lord. Sanctify therefore these elements of the bread and wine, that they will be to us by your Holy Spirit, the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, unveiling in us the prophetic dimensions of a brand new creation in Christ Jesus that is entirely your workmanship and entirely an expression of your grace and your mercy, Father. We thank you, we bless you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, we thank you for the living bread that came down out of heaven. For of his fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, and Father, we know that the law shatters under sin and death, Lord. For there is, behold, a new reality, for grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. And this realization is to be manifested in us in a resurrection power, enabling us to rise from the dead, to live, O God, a newness of life, to live, O God, in all that you have given us in your precious Son. So remove from us every shackle of darkness. Remove from us everything that stands against the knowledge of your Son. Remove from us all fleshly ways, Father, and manifest in us the substance of his fullness that will unveil us as a brand new creation, Father. Your workmanship unveiled by the Holy Spirit in each one of us. Your workmanship that unveils your righteousness, Father. So we celebrate the glory of your grace. We celebrate your righteousness. We celebrate the faith and love of Jesus. We celebrate the reality of the bread of the holy and the bread of the most holy. And we pray that our creation in Christ Jesus will truly be pleasing to you, Father. That we will truly be all that you want us to be, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for the cup that was poured out for us. In a living and eternal witness of blood, water, and spirit. That witness is being made alive in us. That witness is being developed in us as a true and faithful witness, through which we will live, move, and have our being in you, Father. And we thank you that that witness will one day be the means by which we do all things by the Spirit, in Jesus' name. And in that witness we will be set free from the law of sin and death. And this witness, O God, of blood, water, and spirit is a living witness of blood. Blood expressing life in covenant, water representing purity of life, Spirit representing the enabling power to live, Father. And all this is given to us in resurrection power. The mystery is great, but the reality is awesome and wonderful, Lord. And we give you glory in gratitude, Father, for all that you have brought alive in each one of us, in the lives of our brethren across the world, in the lives of our brethren in heavenly places, both Jew and Gentile. We give you glory, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.